here is going to be one that will really deal with Shmot, Va'edo, Bo, Shoah, the whole process of redemption. But even more than that, it's, I believe, going to deal with a very significant, important, and painful contemporary issue. About 2 or 2.5 years ago, I had learned one paragraph of what we're going to learn today, but I never gave you the entire build-up until we reached the point of that one paragraph. I gave you the conclusion, the epilogue to the whole story, but I didn't give you the whole story. And I'm going to try my very best to do the whole thing today. I consider this, which is an essay written by the Shemi Shmuel, I consider it to be extremely, extremely significant and important. The Shemi Shmuel was the son of the Egley Tal. The Egley Tal was the Sachachava dynasty. The Shemi Shmuel was most probably the late 19th and the beginning of the 20th century. All of them were great, great Talmidei Chachamim. So, we can get a build-up and go step by step. And as I usually tell you, don't at all be intimidated by all that printed stuff on the page. We're going to make our way through. Vayomer Moshe. This is the beginning of next week's Sedra. Paro at the beginning of next week's Sedra, Parshat Bo is beginning to weaken. He begins to consider the possibility of negotiating with the Jewish people he doesn't yet see it as an exodus from Egypt, but they're going off into the desert for 3 days in order to serve God. So, Moshe said, Pharaoh, you're also going to give us animals with which we're going to bring sacrifices to our God. Moshe Rabbeinu says, we're going to go with our old, with our young, we're going to take our sheep and our cattle. Everybody's going. Pharaoh is not yet ready. Let the elders go, but let the children remain behind. Instead, the Middle Eastern kind of negotiation. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, it's all or nothing. Benareinu zekeinu, our old, our young, our sheep, our cattle, everybody. And you're also going to give us sacrifices. And the Medrash, and I give you the Medrash on the side. And let's take a quick look at number 2. The Medrash says, Vayikra Paro el Moshe, Vayomer, Lechu Ivdu. Paro called to Moshe and he said, go serve your God. Vayomer Moshe. And then comes the conversation between the two of them. By your emotion, you're also going to give us sacrifices. Amalei Moshe. Moshe said to Pharaoh, Lo dei sovor she'onu nizbach mishalanu klum. Don't think that we're going to sacrifice any of our own animals. Just listen to the way it sounds. It's a very strange medrash. Don't think we're going to sacrifice any of our own. You're also going to give into our hands the sacrifices. That we're going to sacrifice before the Holy One blessed is He on your name. And that's why he told him, our cattle is going to go with us. Now back into the Shemesh Shmuel. The Shemi Shmuel is going to ask a number of questions on this medrash. The medrash is difficult to understand. To me, it's a great question. Is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu said that Jews are not going to bring any of their own sacrifices? Hello, call of Venus Acrobonus. See, that magma's gisrum and mono shall I make of the whole purpose. The whole purpose of animal sacrifices is that I give something of my own to God. What do you mean, we're not going to give? And the whole shot is going to be paid for by Paro. Come with Voyalon. The Gemara even asks, in other miskape, if somebody is going to bring something that's not his own, they may not even be forgiveness as a result of such a sacrifice. If they want to bring Paro's animals, they certainly have not fulfilled their obligation. Furthermore, the pasuk that the Medrash brings says, Gam atotitein, you also are going to give, which of course means quite clearly we're going to bring, and you too. And the Medrash, quoting that pasuk, says, you think we're going to sacrifice any of our own? So the second question the Shemishmul asks is therefore, Va'od, Shani Mekoma, who will bring the place, the pasuk that they bring, we already see, being came, Shuv, Tanas Paro, with Mekoma, Meda, Dak Tzonchel, the Paro, the Tzonchel, so he asks, here's another fascinating question. If we're going to bring only yours, then ours we can leave here. Because Paro said, let the men go. But your sheep and your cattle will remain here. Now, if they turn around to tell him, as the Medrash seems to be interpreting the pasuk, strangely enough, that we're not going to bring any of our own. We're going to sacrifice. All the sacrifices are going to be yours. If all the sacrifices are going to be yours, so what do we need to take our own, leave our own behind? Shuv tanat paro v'mikomahedet. What Paro claims remains in place. Rak tzonchel v'karchem yutzar. Your sheep and your cattle should remain here. Me'acha shalom yiznuchun yoshelem tum. You're not going to bring any of your own, so leave yours here. Vo shalosh v'atzko enyo sevel. The words of the pasuk cannot carry that kind of a meaning. Sharei omar gam. He said, you too are going to give in our hands tzvachim v'olot. The word gam means, in addition to the animals that we're going to sacrifice, you too are going to bring sacrifices. So the Medrash is difficult. The answer, the explanation to the Medrash, you'll have to wait till the end. V'nir al-Kharesh now takes us step two. Step two is, yesh l'hikbalim, we have to give thought. Bamesh ha'itam mit bakeshet, Hachna'at Paro u'Mitzrayim. It seems that in this whole process, what happens to be a necessity is that Paro and all of Egypt will be subdued before God. They are going to surrender before the Almighty. It seems that the process calls for Paro and Mitzrayim to be humbled. And watch, I wrote on the slide, I wrote the psukim as they begin in Parashat Shemot, and in this center, you'll hear the Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos, and you'll see what's happening. It seems that this whole process is an educational process for Paro and Mitzrayim. In Shemot, number four, Vayom Paro. Paro's first response to Moshe is, Mi Hashem, who is God Asher Ashma B'Kolo? Who is this God? Why should I listen to him? To send the children of Israel out. Lo yodati et Hashem. I don't know who he is. V'gam Yisrael lo ha-shaleach. And I'm not going to send Israel out. Ah, there's the challenge. You don't know who he is? You're going to find out who he is. The Shem Yishmul's question is going to be, why is it so necessary for God that Paro should say, yes, God is the creator of the world. God, and he cares. That do you think makes a difference? You think God takes it personally? He's all upset that Paro doesn't recognize him. So what? And then in Parashat Vayera, take a look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 psukim. Kor Hashem. Seven. V'yom Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim shall know that I am God. When I stretch out my hand on Egypt, and I will take out the children of Israel. Ko amar Hashem, so says God, bezot, through this, teda, you will know, ki ani Hashem. This is all to Paro. Leman teda, you should know, Jain Kashem Lutin, there's no God like our God. If you watch, there's a fascinating progression. First of all, you have to know that there's a God, the God of Israel. Second, you have to know that there is no other God like him. Three, Leman Teda Kiani Hashem Bekedev Oretz, the next thing you have to know is, I did not simply create the world and remove myself to the very heavens. I'm right here. You have to know that I am God Bekedev Oretz. Ba'avur Teda, you should know Kiein Kamoni Bechol Oretz. There's none other like me on the face of this earth. Ve'elo Ba'avur Sot. God says to Paro, you should know why I've left you alive. To show you my strength, so that you should be able to relate my great name throughout the earth. This is another step. Not only are you going to tell the world about the God of Israel, you also have to know the earth belongs to God. In Parshat Bo, V'yidatem, Ki Enei Hashem. You know who else is going to learn that God is God? The children of Israel. Paro says, then in Parshat Bo, what's going to begin in Parshat Bo, next week, etc., is a beginning of an upswing. Little by little, Paro is ready to negotiate. He sees the finger of God. He recognizes that there's some kind of a God. He's ready to let the old go. Then he's ready to let the children. Ultimately, he's going to be ready to let the cattle go. And in the final instance, it's not going to be his choice anyway. They're going to go out despite him. The Shemishmul wants to know, why is it so significant? So many psukim, so that old Pharaoh should know that there is a God. What is this? What kind of trip is God on? Is it really so significant and so important to him that this tyrannical, wicked idolater, I know God, no? It's an interpretation that Tzikim and Ashtik Gezint, in other words, he'll feel better. Oh, you see everybody? Paro. He agrees that I exist. I mean, what's going on up here? It's really a continuation of the question before. God needs Paro's sacrifices. Give me a break. What's it all about? Vanilla Farish. Let's go. Three. The Hineyeshin Bowen, we have to consider. What was it necessary that Paro in Egypt should be subdued before God? As it says, and he brings a number of The Zohar says the following: the Lomitna Torah are also Paro Vaodi, Yitro Vaodi. Torah could not be given until Paro was going to admit that the God of Israel is God, and until Yitro came and said, Baruch Hashem, blessed is God. What's the Zohar talking about? Why is this so important? God needs approbations from Paro and from Yitro, and this is what he's in need of. Malovalahem. What does he have to do with them? Haloktiv. It says in Shir HaShirim that there's a unique relationship between God and the Jewish people. Don't believe Ani Lo. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is unto me. And Rashi says, who calls it up of Tavani many? God has asked all that he wants, he asked of me. Volotzivot Eloli. He commanded only me. Asu Pesach, make a carbon Pesach, kashu bechorot. Sanctify the firstborn. Make a mishkan. Bring sacrifices. Volotavani umarcheh. He didn't ask any other nation. Vikam, and here, what a strange thing. Paro has to know that he's God. Paro has to bring sacrifices. At Moth, I wonder. Hello, car, green, carrying echo. All of the nations are like nothing but women. Ne et es matohu nesh lo. They are absolutely nothing and zero. Umalo lachma paro umitzchayim klau. Who? Why does he need the subordination of paro umitzchayim? You want to take the Jewish people out? One blow, you take them out and finish. He could have taken the Jewish people out against their will, which he ultimately does in the end anyway. That's the second question. The third question is, Venida Yeshlit Palay, and you'll see that in a sense this is a continuation of last week's shiur, but it's a unit all of its own. Says there's something you have to wonder about. Al dotam v'avidam she'e'izu p'neyem neged Moshe v'ano. Dotam and Avidam acted with terrible chutzpah toward Moshe and Aaron. As Moshe and Aaron are coming to Paro, Dotam v'avidam say, let God see and judge you for what you have done to this people. Everything was good until you came. Yed Hashem, Alechem Yishkod, Harol Kopon. They should have realized that Moshe and Aaron are very, very unique individuals. In Mitzrayim, people tremble before them. He makes reference to a medrash. I'm not going to learn the whole medrash. It's on the number 6. The medrash says that there were two mighty lions in at the entrance to Paro's palace, and when Moshe and Aaron came, the two lions became like pussy cats, and with joy they came along like little ketzalach. With Moshe and Aaron before Paro, they come into Paro, and Paro was everybody standing there in awe, amazement, fear, trepidation, trembling. These lions that have kept people out of the palace are now, you know, Ketzalah with Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron were unique. Unique is, I can't think of a better word right now. Exceptional individuals, outstanding. How is it that no one has the chutzpah that Dotan v'Avidam has to them? The shiur that we gave about 2.5 years ago, I documented all of the places in Chumash where Dotan v'Avidam act with absolute ugliness toward Moshe and Aaron. Remember, Dotan v'Avidam were the two fellows who were fighting that day, the second day that Moshe Rabbeinu went out. They're the ones who betrayed Moshe to Paro. Moshe, the first one in history to stand up in Mitzrayim for a fellow Jew, risks his life. He's betrayed by none other than Dotan v'Avidam. Unbelievable. So the Shem Shul is asking, where did I get the chutzpah? Havo al koponim were rowing the Moshe Baron, Shena Moshe Meshutim. They were able to see that Moshe Baron weren't simple people. Shabbat was like Paro, believing to like Meshut. They came to Paro without asking for an appointment. They didn't ask for permission to come. Vain, b'shomei apaltin yecholet lakobar yadam. All the officers of the palace guard, the Shabak, the FBI, everybody, the Secret Service, nobody can stop them. They go walking in. These are exceptionally divine people. Why is it that doesn't look your mind frightened? Ubi Yalkut? The Yalkut, that's the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni that I give the text on the side. Shabbatach Paravon Yishnei Kvidi Aroi, there were two strong lions. Asum that were tied there, ve'enish yotze yuvom b'nei m'kosel, nobody comes in or goes out. Ve'enish Moshe ha'mata l'akvir Moshe stretched out his staff over the lions, v'yachidein, and they became untied, and they go, they go dancing before Moshe now, I don't know, shalim ha'sheichem, yohamim ha'yim ha'melech, we're talking about Moreno Rebelo, the lions are terrified before Moshe and Aaron. And they came to him, the Simcha Gadol, with great joy, just as a dog is so happy to be with his master. Paro saw, wondered, was terrified. You see there at length, and this is double emotion. Aaron was revered in Egypt. How is it that these two people have absolutely no respect for Aaron? Aaron was the one who kept hope beating in the hearts of Klal Yisrael, and these two have simply act with such ugliness toward Moshe. That's paradise. Now that we have the questions, what's going to begin now is the process of the answers. And it's going to take a little way until we get there, but we're going to get there in the session. Chazal say it. He does not quote it from any specific place because it's the metaphor is used in a number of places in Medrash. Jews in Egypt were like a fetus in a mother. What do our rabbis mean when they use that kind of a metaphor to describe Jews in Egypt? What they mean is, spiritually, maybe emotionally, and in a lot of other ways, Jews were nursing from Egypt. Here they were, surrounded by a foreign culture, and there was just no way that they were able to maintain their absolute emotional and spiritual identity in the face of this overwhelming and overpowering system that was called Mitzrayim. So Chazal described the Jewish people as a ubor, a fetus being made emo in the womb of a mother. Shebar Sher Yisrael v'Mitzrayim v'ayu k'ubor v'mei emo v'uber yerech emo. The Gemara says, halacha is that an ubor, a fetus, is like one of the organs of a mother because it receives all its sustenance from the mother. V'ochel paro v'Mitzrayim. Top of the next column. What they ate was Paro Mitzrayim, Paralot Behem L'Ra'ah. The nourishment that they were getting was acting in a very, very negative way on them. Kimosha Po'elet B'Tichat Adam Sholeim Al-Ubor, just like the blood of a mother affects the fetus. V'zeo Shema She'iso V'med V'shei Hagodah. In the Hagod of Pesach it says, V'yoreyu Otanu HaMitzvim. We usually think that it means that the Egyptians were bad to us. But it doesn't mean that. If it would have meant that the Egyptians were bad to us, it would have said, Vayoreyu Lonu HaMitzvim. The Egyptians were bad to us. It says in the Haggadah, Vayoreyu Otanu HaMitzvim means the Egyptians made us bad. Their influence, the whole society, impacted on us in an extremely negative way. That's why it says in the Haggadah, Vayoreyu Otanu HaMitzvim, Shehu Po'el Yotzei. It's a transitive verb. It's acting upon somebody, acting upon us. They made us bad. The reason they made us bad is because we were like an ubor. We were like the fetus in the mother. The Alkein Marsha Paro Hichtziv Ramah Vi Hashem Asher Eshmar Kolo L'Shalachet Yisrael. The very first pasuk that we learned, the very first response of Paro to Moshe and Aaron was, "Who is God? Who is God?" And right, you think I'm going to send the Jewish people around? That was an absolute act of chutzpah loyotatiyat Hashem. I don't know who God is. I'm not going to send the Jewish people around. And the Sephorno on that pasuk says the following. This is awesome chutzpah. He says two things. I don't know who God is. And also, I'm not going to send the Jewish people out. So the Sephorno says, even if you'll prove to me, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that there is a God, the God of Israel, I'm still not going to send them out. You'll send me off to a discovery program, and I'm going to see the light, I'm still not going to send them out. That's great chutzpah. The Sephorno said, even if it will become true, the existence of this God, Lo b'shul zar shalachet Yisrael, I'm not going to send the Jewish people out. Din kain, siduro shel paro, ein lachshov ki shogeg bilti yeda. Paro, therefore, is not just an innocent person says, you know, I know who God is. If he says, I don't know who God is, you know, prove it to me, that's one thing. But he says, even if you do prove it to me, I'm not going to accept the Jewish people out. So he says, Elo Kumoed, he was rebellious, Shechatzifa, he aims Panor Bifne Amelach. He acts with great chutzpah toward God the King. V'azutzu, the chutzpah Yetedazu, Pa'alova Yisrael. The chutzpah of Paro impacted on the Jewish people. This drew Jewish people to the midah of being mechutzafim and rebellious. I think that what Hashem Yishmuel is really going to be describing to us is something that we now call the Stockholm Syndrome. The Stockholm Syndrome is that a hostage at some point, a relationship develops between the hostage and the one who is keeping him hostage, and the hostage begins to relate in a certain positive way to the one who's holding the hostage. We assume that they should despise and hate them. No. The psychology works in such a way that, you know, I mean, maybe it is because they feel if we begin to identify them, we'll understand them, they'll be nice to us, they'll let us live. I mean, there are a lot of things that one can imagine over here. It means what he's really going to say in a word is that whatever Paro and Mitzrayim became war, that was having awesome and frightening impact on the Jewish people. The Jewish people were caught in a great inner struggle. The struggle was between the fact that they are the children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and therefore by nature they are modest, humble, and merciful people, and here they find themselves enslaved and surrounded by people who are absolutely cruel and evil, and that struggle is taking place. So he says, El Shani Komakom, despite the fact that they were under such terrible pressure, Klai Yisrael, the people Shiesh Ben Beteva, in their nature they have Midos Tovos, good character traits. Shebiu Behem Abuseinu HaKadoshim, that our holy fathers made part of our nature. Baishonim, people who understand what means shame. Shame is an extremely powerful, positive force in the human being. We don't have to go to that, but you think there are a lot of things that we don't do or that we do because of shame. Therefore, we live within a society that works on us in this way. That's a very positive force. We're Baishonim, we're Rachmonim, we're merciful, we're Gomri Chasodim. Hein Echziku B'Yad Yisrael, that nature that they had received from their avos gave them the strength to withstand the onslaught of Egyptian culture. That gave them the power and the strength to stand against the forces of evil of Egypt. The only ones who really suffered from the Stockholm Syndrome, the only ones who followed, were drawn magnetically to Egyptian culture and Egyptian rejection of God, were Dasan and Avigdor. Shehu Apsolah Shel Yisrael. They were the refuse of Israel. U'kamo shekosav Maharal. The Maharal says, just as on the one hand there are Moshe and Aaron, on the other end of the spectrum, you have Dasan Pavichon. The point that he's ultimately going to make is that there are Dasan and Avinams in every generation.
the more frightening point that it's going to make is the closer we come to ultimate redemption, there will be a proliferation of Dosan Barvichos, Jews who will be ready and with joy to betray their fellow Jews. Both the Maharal and the Shem Yishuel say that this unique form of betrayal exists more by the Jewish people than any other people on the face of this earth. Frightening, terrifying. You now begin to understand why I'm learning this Shem Yishuel. We are faced with it, unfortunately, day in and day out, but we're going to see the only silver lining to the cloud is, because he's going to say that the closer we get to redemption, the greater is going to be the outbreak of people who will simply go to all ends, irrationally even, to betray their own people. Every day, we are suffering from this in a way that no other people suffers. It's bothered me for years, maybe Tracy. And here we'll get a little bit of what's going on. On a very simple level, one can say, not only Stockholm Syndrome, but there are those who want to curry favor with the nations in the world. They enjoy it. They can move easily and freely through the capitals of Europe and the palaces and be seen as great statesmen. They can also be on the receiving end of all sorts of funds that come flowing in from all sorts of groups that want to undermine the very existence of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. This is the Dosan Barvichos phenomenon. A frightening, frightening, and disturbing phenomenon. Now watch.
Yes, the commotion, Moshe of Aaron, how you had Asians, Moshe and Aaron were the first, the greatest of Israel. Lo Matan, on the other hand, how you Dabram, how you don't have Solet, Shel Israel. Al Kain Nidbapa and Korah, Azut, Ba Chutzpish and Paro. The Azut and the Chutzpah of Paro,
and they will continue to maintain their position regardless of what's going on in the world. Dosan Barvichos, one of the things that really describes them is, don't confuse me with the facts. The facts make absolutely no difference to me. Jewish children are being thrown into the Nile. Well, you know, if there wouldn't be settlements, they just wouldn't be throwing Jewish children into the Nile. But what I'm saying is, there's something unique about the Dosan Barvichos of this world that will place blame for anything that happens on us, not on the enemy. We're guilty. Unbelievable thing. Yeda Hashem Yishpot, that they can even invoke the name of God. Let God see him. Let him judge you. Let him judge you. And it says, "Ukmoha Aslut Barchutzpah." Listen to that sentence at the end there. And just like the Aslut and the Chutzpah of Paro, how you don't sold me gather, then you say, it was not human. It was simply not human. So was the Chutzpah of Dosan Barvichos. Make no sense. Denial and betrayal of their very, very, very own. I read yesterday's editorial, yes, in Jerusalem Post. It was based on an article that appeared in Haaretz about a year and a half ago. I remember the morning I read that article. I thought that my blood pressure went. The place that Professor Zev Sternhill told the writers of the Haaretz that, listen, Arafat, you should know your argument is with the settlers and the settlements. That's where you should send your people. That's where you should have suicide bombers. He was giving them advice to go after the settlers and the settlements, and it was used yesterday. I think it was yesterday that they quoted it, and finally, a year and a half later, they quoted it. Don't confuse the facts. We now know beyond any shadow of doubt, but those who didn't know it yet clearly know it now. Settlements are not the issue at all. They have never recognized the existence of the Jewish people of the state of Israel. We're nothing to them. That's nothing to do with settlements. If anything, the settlers are the great heroes that stand between most of Eretz Yisrael and suicide bombs. They don't see it. Dosan Barbirham are not moved by Jewish children being thrown into the fire. It's unbelievable. You see it clearly. You see it every day. It's one of the most painful phenomena of all. Let's go further. I'll give you a general picture of what he's going to say. He's going to say here the following. That when things come down to it, are we a people worthy of redemption? Are we not worthy of redemption? What will make us worthy of redemption? So he says if we follow the model of Mitzrayim, then we find that in the final analysis, absolute faith in God, trust in Him, forget everything else, just that. That's the key. That's the key to redemption. And he says the following. There were two mitzvahs that Jews had to fulfill before they went out of Egypt. One was they had to prepare the Paschal lamb, the Korban Pesach, and slaughter the Korban Pesach. And the second was that they all had to, the males had to circumcise themselves, had to be circumcised. Korban Pesach and Brit Milah. So the Shem Yishmol says, for them to have fulfilled those mitzvahs, it was completely irrational for them to do it. It was completely an absolute leap of faith. Brit Milah. They circumcised themselves a few days before being taken out of Egypt. What happened to last week's Seder? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't circumcise his son Eliezer before they went down on the road, and Rashi says, he said, I have to go to Mitzrayim now and take Jewish people out. I can't travel with a child who's undergone Brit Milah. The 600,000 males are now going to, well, 600,000 was between age 20 and 60. In terms of the males that have to be circumcised, we're talking about 1.5 million, 2 million. And 3 days from now, we're going to go out on an unknown journey out into the desert. Why weren't they terrified? Somebody should come and ask the Shaila. You're telling us we're going out of time. How are we going out of time under these circumstances? And what happened to the city of Shechem in the 3 days after the circumcision? In this week's setting, Parsha Va'eilo, when Paro says to Moshe, listen, do your sacrifice in here. Why do you have to go out into the desert? Do it right here. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, we're going to sacrifice the deity of Egypt and they're not going to stone us to death. Which means they understand that to do it in Mitzrayim would be a great personal risk to every Jew. And here they agree that they do sacrifice the Korban Pesach. Do you know what a leap of faith this is? In other words, they're not thinking about themselves anymore. They simply accept without question the Word of God. That kind of simple yet profound faith is what's needed in order to effect redemption. I'll tell you. Let's be honest with ourselves. In the elections in 96 was between Peres and Netanyahu. Was there any doubt in our minds? Of course, we've got to get rid of Peres and we need Netanyahu. And I'm sure that in the middle of the night when we found out that Netanyahu is winning, we thought this is it, salvation is coming. Okay? which any way we looked at it, we could say that we have faith and we have the tough and we have a moon and we're from. But boy, Netanyahu. Right then, of course, he lost. In the elections 2 years ago, it was between Barak and Sharon. Between Barak and Sharon, it's obvious we gotta get rid of Barak, who's ready to divide and Shalayim and do all sorts of terrible things. And who's gonna give us Shalom and Betachon? Mi Yishmara Yerushalayim, Sharon. I think now we come to the first elections in history. None of the choices is good. Sharon will give you a Palestinian state. Mitzvah will turn the whole state into a Palestinian state. It's only a matter of degree. Do you know what we're reaching? We're reaching the point that any thinking Jew must arrive at the conclusion that in fact and indeed and emotionally, we have no one to depend on except the invention. Nobody's going to get us out of this miserable, historic, catastrophic mess that we put ourselves into except the invention. That's what the Shem Yishmuel is saying. Absolute faith, knowing that there's nothing that's going to help us. And because it's the invention, we're going to do whatever is required, whatever he says we're going to do. And therefore, these two mitzvahs, both of them entailed an awesome and a frightening leap of faith. And they do it. And they do it. If any of the numbers here, I may be doing some speaking, so just follow along with me. V'nei Yadu, it's known that Israel then were b'shvarz ha'madrega, the bottom of the heap, the 49th level of Tuma. They were not ready for Geula. The only counsel and advice that can be given to them shall call upon in fear of him, midas ha'achnor v'habitul. Do you know what brings to faith? What brings to faith and trust in God when one is ready to surrender and make the greatest sacrifice of all? The Rav talked about it often. The greatest sacrifice that one can make is the surrender of his rational mind before God. I'm a rational human being. I want to understand things. You want us to bring the carbon Pesach here? Didn't sell us in the streets of Mitzrayim. You want us to undergo Bris Milah? How are 3 million people going to march out of Mitzrayim under those conditions? Faith, real faith, and real trust in God comes as a result of subduing oneself, surrendering completely before the will of God and making that great sacrifice. My rational mind doesn't count. You count. You represent what truth is, not me. That's accomplished by these two mitzvahs. He says, the Eitzah Yehutzah, so the advice is, at least they should have Midat HaHachna'ah. Hachna'ah means that they surrender, that they subdue, an act of uncompromising faith. And the knowledge that only he can extricate us from it. So now, I'll just tell you what he's going to develop. The idea that he's going to develop is that since Chazal tell us that the Jewish people were like a fetus in Egypt, that means we are so much of the influence upon us is Egypt. Therefore, what's necessary is to break down the arrogance of Egypt. And as Paro and Yitzchayim are going to become more subdued, more bending, more yielding before God, as they go down in their chutzpah, we are the ones who are going to be able to rise in our spiritual relationship to God. It's necessary to bring Paro to the point that he knows God. Not because God needs Paro to know God. It's because God wants Jews to know God. And the only way that it's going to happen is by destroying this balance of the Stockholm Syndrome. If Paro already is is surrendering before God. So just watch. As Paro, you'll notice in the Torah, as you read the parashat, you'll see that every step that Paro takes and begins to surrender more and more, Klal Yisrael rise more and more in their absolute faith in trust in God. That's why he wants, that's why Paro has to know that there is a God. Again, not because God needs Paro to know God, it's because God needs Jews to know God. And that's only going to happen in these two movements. This Mitzrayim and Paro becoming subdued and surrendering before God, and on the other hand, the Jewish people rising and growing stronger and stronger day by day in their commitment to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There in line 14, he brings, the Shem Yishmol brings the Gemara that says that in the final analysis we started off with 613 mitzvahs, and when it comes down to the bottom line, Bo Chabakuk, the prophet Chabakuk said, Ha'amidon al achat, all of Torah stands on one principle, and that principle is Tzadik Be'emunato Yichyeh, the righteous live through their faith and trust in God. V'zeo inyin Pesach u'mila, Shenidlehem. That was the whole idea of the Korban Pesach. And the Brit Mila, as I explained, was given to them, that they should be worthy of being redeemed. They have to reach a point where they understand, not by might, and not by strength, and not by politicians, none of them are. That's not going to bring the Yeshua. Don't get me wrong, we need an army. We need great soldiers. And you know what kind of soldiers we really need? Those who are going to go out with great faith in God. That's what we need. Because ultimately, it's Tzadik Be'emunato Yichyeh. Life will come to the Jewish people only through faith. And it has to be Emunah Tumimah. Simple faith. Not simplistic, simple. Complete, like a child to a parent, a ben to an av. That's what our relationship to our Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be. And therefore he describes every step. He takes you through every step and shows you how Mitzrayim is their chutzpah, their azus weakens, their surrender to God becomes stronger, and at the same time Jewish commitment to God becomes stronger. You'll see the next column, the Nida, and it seems Shebaodayakar Mitzrayim took from the Kar when the might of Mitzrayim held on to them. Lohoyakar Israel of Olachno. As long as they were under the heel of Mitzrayim, Israel would not be able to come to that sense of being subdued and humbled before God. And then he says, what's going to be necessary is to bring Mitzrayim down. Intellectually, theologically, philosophically, spiritually, and then ultimately physically. But the first thing that has to be done is Mitzrayim has to reach the point of, yes, there is Hashem Echad, Nishma Echad. Then he says over there in line 8, Heipach dosom v'avirom shenisparalu me'azim tobu chutzpatos v'paro v'yisrael lo nimshich v'ardeizeh. In the final analysis, everybody indeed grew, Jews grew, except two of them, Dosan Rabbis. The fact is that there were more Dosan Rabbis. There were those who were lost in Mitzrayim, and the ones who were lost in Egypt were lost because they were Dosan Rabbis. Line 27. With what he's saying, you can understand the power of that great pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Zacharti lo chesed liurayach, I remember the kindness of your youth, Abad liurayach, the love of our marriage, coming together, God of the Jewish people, lechteich acharai b'midbar, to follow me out into a desert, be'eretz lo zeruah, a land that's not planted. So in addition to the fact that they fulfilled the mitzvah of Mila, leap of faith, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, leap of faith, The very fact that they're walking out into the desert, 3 million people with no water and no food, this is Emunah Tamima. And then, of course, he brings the famous Medrash that says that in the end, that's exactly what happened. All the Egyptians except one were destroyed at the Yam Suf. And the Medrash says the one who remained was Paro. And Paro's vocation for the rest of his life was traveling through the world, telling people that the God of Israel is the one God. Third side. Kitzur HaDvarim. He's going to begin to sum everything up. Kitzur HaDvarim. Chilav HaOdam B'Mitzchayim. And you can see he's really going to review for us everything that we said. Chilav, at first when they were still in Egypt, Ke'ubar B'Me'imo, like a fetus within the womb of a mother. Haytah Azut V'Chutz B'Shem Mitzchayim T'Kifah Aleim. The chutzpah, the arrogance and the evil of Egypt was so strong upon them. And it drew them also to that kind of chutzpah. There was an inner struggle within Jews not to be drawn like a magnet to the culture of Egypt. Dosan Ravirum Shoyor Psalach of Israel, Dosan Ravirum, that were the refuse of Israel, Motzon Minet Mino. They found a great deal in common, the Neor, and it was reawakened in them. Vachakat Kefam, the Fam, Vachlaz, Padolat, Lat, Lugmatan, Ayavi, Yechola, Israel, Niskot, Taklit, Akhir, Opidol. What was interesting is that as Paro begins to become more and more subdued, you know who doesn't? Dathan Davina. They still remain. They still remain what they were. And I'm beginning to think, Rashi last week says, God tells Moshe, go back to Egypt because the people who sought your life are dead. So Rashi says, the people who sought your life are dead. But they were Dathan Davina, and Dathan Davina is still alive. So Rashi says, they became poor. And one who's poor is considered to make as though that this is a famous Rashi. It means like this. I'm taking a further look at the Rashi. It means that in Mitzrayim, under those terrible conditions, doesn't Aviram were wealthy. Is it possible that they were doing business with the enemy? Do you think Jews would ever make money while Jewish children are being thrown into the Nile? So you see, it's figures, they're making loads of money. But these guys are a bunch of gvira madir, dozen madiru. They had bank accounts before it was a Switzerland, you understand? So therefore the Torah tells us about them, that they became poor. But not they, these guys know already, one of these days they'll bounce back. But they have lost their influence. I don't know why it sounds so familiar to me, all of this. Page 20. This is the finale. And this part of the finale we learned 2.5 years ago, but I didn't learn the whole build-up to it. The whole build-up really is an explanation of what's taking place in all of these parashiyot. The necessity that ultimately Paro is going to bring sacrifices. The idea that he must be subdued to the point that he knows something, of course, on an even simplistic level. The truth is, let's ask ourselves, we're all influenced by a world outside of us. What are you talking about? I was with my wife at a wedding last night, and kind of I said, you know, we became Israelis. The wedding was in Talpiot at the palace. I said, would you ever tell anybody you're going to a wedding at palace? You know the wedding hall, palace? Go tell an Israeli you're going to palace. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. We talk like Israelis. Thank God. The idea that we are in great measure influenced by all sorts of things in the world out there. Dasam Vaviram took it to its extreme. Dasam Vaviram are the prototype of Jews who will betray their fellow Jews to a whole world. And now the finale. 1 in 20. Venida. Shem Yishmuel says, it seems Shesu Hamidom Ha'alechet B'chol HaGoliot. This measure, this kind of a phenomenon exists in all of our exiles. Shachutz by the Taylor Shell of Umot, Shemcharfin Mekatfin, Bom Ron Koyon, Ayel Kapo, the great chutzpah of the nations against us, Zemoshe Kadleb B'nai Yisrael. That draws like a magnet the hearts. Some Jews are drawn to it. Drawn to it either because, yes, Stockholm Syndrome, drawn to it because they want to find favor in the eyes of the nations of the world. I can't really explain it to you because I don't understand it. I don't understand it. The most natural thing is that a person would want to love his own people and never, God forbid, ever betray a Jew to the non-Jewish world. It's unbelievable. I still can't. Zeh Moshech et Leib b'nei Yisrael Nami Levilti Hayot Nichna'im L'Dark HaTorah. That also brings Jews, are influenced by that world out there. U'kamo b'Mitzrayim. Just as in Egypt, when did Dasam Vaviram become most active? In the period immediately preceding the redemption from Egypt. That's when it's going to get the worst. That's when you're going to have Gush Shalom and Shalom Arshav, and this Shalom and that Shalom betraying Jews to the rest of the world, day in and day out. That's the silver lining to the cloud. When Menu Bo, Dasam Avidim came to Azad. Line 28, the mission at the end of Masechet Sota says that at the time of Mashiach, chutzpah is going to become great amongst the Jewish people. There will be exceptional kind of chutzpah, a rejection of one's own people. According in my opinion, this manenu inyan zeh milchemet gog umakov shuni klipat hamerida k'anonzal. This is a little fascinating what he says over here. The anti-Semitism in the world is a form of the gog umakov battle that's supposed to take place at the end of time. In other words, it may not necessarily have to be an invasion of Eretz Yisrael. It could be a rejection of Jews worldwide. And we're getting pretty close. I mean, we're getting very close. Unbelievable. Line 33. That chutzpah out of the world impacts on our people here. And those who are rebellious amongst us become the traitors. And that's what our rabbi said. Bat koma b'ima kalo b'chamota. One of the signs of the end of days is that a daughter stands up against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That was the idea of chutzpah, the idea of chutzpah. The whole Martian Insomnians have extracted to the Tzermenu, Lomi Naihuhu. What the truth is that Dasam Vaviram syndrome is here over 100 years. It has intensified. In Europe, in Russia, there were the Efsekis, the Jewish communists, I don't know how much Jewish blood there was on the hands of Jewish communists. I don't know, Buddhists and others, there were Jews. it's terrible to say, but that's the fact. Elikimodosom Aviva Matoshaparo, Vahashem HaTov. This is said and very important. Hashem HaTov Yechaper Padam, the good God, should forgive them and atone for them. The Shavu Bonim Levulam, and the sons should return to their boundaries. And I think he's talking to the boundaries of the people. He's not only talking, he's using the term not only to mean that Jews return from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. The Jew in Eretz Yisrael who betrays his people should return to the bosom of his own people. Shavu Bonim L'Kvulam. V'akol Yiyuf Nichnom V'tel L'Das HaTorah V'Yizkayim Bonim V'Tzadid Dem L'Atol Yichyeh. Everybody should become, in a sense, subdued before God and Tzadid Dem L'Atol Yichyeh. Then, of course, he goes back to answering the first question that he asked him. Right now, we know already what the answer is. Who needed the sacrifices of Paro? Of course God didn't need the sacrifices of Paro. Jews needed the sacrifices of Paro. When they see that this great Paro has now subdued himself completely and surrendered before God, then the spell that he held over the Jewish people is gone and broken. I said, so I say that in a Novi or Novi below 10 Novi, don't get me wrong, I mean, I don't like to make predictions, I know I've been right pretty often, but very often. Okay. I'm still trying, if you think that I'm fully satisfied, all that I know is that, well, this phenomenon does exist. This phenomenon becomes stronger and more widespread the closer we come to redemption. It means, therefore, what's terribly important for us is to be able to identify it. You know, at one time, one would say, you know, you have to hear both sides. You know, you have to be even-handed, you have to be open-minded. No. There are opinions that are absolutely, completely evil and wrong. That's really what we're getting at this. That there's a psalus of the Jewish people, the opposites of Moshe and Aaron, the dozen Avirams exists in every generation. And I don't have to feel that I'm in the position of, you know, I have to be able to influence him, or I have to be able to listen to him, you know, maybe he is right, maybe we did make a terrible mistake by stealing the land, or doing this, or doing that. When you get yourself into that, you're falling into the dozen Avirom trap. You have to know that it exists, and you have to know to be able to remain strong, and you have to know that we're coming to a point where, to me, it's already become clear. Nothing short of a Nes Goli, a real miracle, is going to get us out of the horrible, horrible, historic, tragic mess that we're in. Hashem, Hatov, Yichaper. Well, we'll talk about Nisim next week in Yiddish Hashem. Yes? The Jewish Poland, Sachachov.